the heart, the human heart.
We think of it as this thing that functions in the middle of us, inside of our chest. It's a wondrous organ that God has created and placed into each of our hearts and in each of our lives. Now, the heart is a muscular organ that pumps blood throughout the circulatory system, and that circulatory system is a network of blood vessels, arteries, veins, and capillaries that runs the length of over 60,000 miles long. That's long enough to go around the world more than twice. The heart beats about 100,000 times per day and about 35 million times per year in a lifetime, an average lifetime, your human heart will beat more than 2.5 billion times. What a wonderful, powerful, miraculous organ. Should that heart stop beating, the organs within the body will start shutting down one after another, ultimately resulting in the body's death. The heart, your heart, is a vital part of your health and your life. The heart, the human heart. But is the human heart just an organ? Well, yes and no. It is an organ, a vital organ, but we also are familiar with expressions like this: I love you with all of my heart. I saw a Valentine card one time, and it said, I love you with all of my inner chest blood pump. That's real romantic, isn't it? Well, how about some other phrases we use about this heart that really don't relate to the physical heart pump? How about us saying, well, that guy, he has no heart. Well, then he wouldn't be standing there for you to talk about. Or, come on, have a heart. Whose is he going to get? He poured his heart out. Oh, I knew it by heart. Do it to your heart's content. It's my heart's desire. Let's have a heart-to-heart talk. Be quiet, just let the hearts talk, I guess. My heart was in my mouth. Well, that'd be uncomfortable. She wears her heart on her sleeve. You should not wear a sleeved blouse then. Cross my heart. Just follow your heart. It's not going anywhere. He is heartbroken. He was half-hearted about it. I had a change of heart. Well, some can literally say that if they've had heart surgery. She has a heart of gold. That could be heavy to carry around. From the bottom of my heart. She is such a bleeding heart. My heart bleeds for you. I hope it continues to bleed. And how about eat your heart out? Wow, just to say a few. But take heart. We're going to dig deeper into the heart meaning. In Scripture, the biblical heart, the biblical word for heart is cardia. Sounds like cardiac, doesn't it? It's a word that occurs over 1,000 times in God's word, and its word is filled with expressions about the heart, yet those expressions referring to the heart, a lot like our society, have little to do with that inner chest blood pump. According to the Bible, the heart is not only the operation for human life physically, but the heart is referred to as the center of who we are. It's the center of all inner thoughtful activity. It is it combines the mind, the character, the inner self, the will, the intention, and the center of a person all put together. And right now, what you are thinking, how you are listening and evaluating inside your psyche, that is your inner heart, biblically speaking. And when God speaks of the heart in his word, he speaks of something much greater and deeper than that chest blood pump. When he speaks of that deep center of your being, who you really are underneath it all. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it uses the most comprehensive term for that inner person. It's where we desire, where we deliberate, where we decide. It's a place of consciousness, decisive activity. And it includes our feelings, desires, passions, thoughts, understanding, and will. And not to go through a zillion scriptures, but scripture says that the heart of humanity thinks, it remembers, it reflects, it meditates, it understands, it discerns, it plans, it makes commitments, it makes decisions. It experiences a full range of emotions. The heart can be troubled and sorrowful and selfish and doubtful and fearful. That heart can rage and be prideful. On a more positive note, the human heart, biblically speaking, can have great joy and love and trust and peace and humility. And that emotional state of the heart affects the whole person. Where you are with your heart affects how you present yourself and who you are to those around you. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A glad heart makes a cheerful countenance. Countenance will be cheerful, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken." You can see it in people's faces, can't you? What the heart is doing. Personally, I always grew up a real happy little kid, and I seem to have kind of an upbeat part in my life. I'm a very positive type person. And somebody gave me a plaque it's in my office. It says, it's from Proverbs 15:15. It says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who hath a merry heart hath a continual feast." You have a merry heart, an upbeat heart, a joyful heart. You have a continual feast of joy in your life. And of these hearts, these hearts that we are inside, it says, and we heard it in the scripture today, God knows every heart. He knows what's in my heart right now. He knows what's in your heart right now. He knows if your heart is aching. He knows if your heart is joyful. He knows if your heart is wondering. He knows if your heart is seeking. God sees, he knows every heart. In the First Kings passage today, we read this. The people are crying out, and it says in 38 and following, "Whatever prayer, whatever plea there is from any individual or from all your people Israel, all knowing the afflictions of their own hearts, so they stretch out their hands toward this house, toward you, God, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, forgive, act, and render to all whose hearts you know, according to all their ways, for only you know what is in every human heart." In 1 Samuel, they're trying to choose a new leader and king for Israel, and they're seeking about, they're looking for people that are big and strong and outgoing and Schwarzenegger-like, and finally they bring in out of the fields this little boy named David, young man named David, and they're saying, well, he's not rugged and outgoing and all such like all the other brothers and those around. And in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "Man looks at the outward appearance," says Samuel, "but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. The Lord God looks at your heart, my heart, our hearts. And sometimes we have heart troubles. I'm not talking with a physical heart. But sadly, so many times, God looks at our hearts, he seeks our hearts, he explores our hearts, and they are far from where they should be. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is devious above all else." We've felt that, haven't we? "It is perverse. Who can understand it?" We can all have those kind of hearts. Ecclesiastes 9:3 says, "This is an evil in all that happens under the sun. The same fate comes to everyone. Moreover, the hearts of all are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead." So evil and madness, those are not what God wants to find in our hearts. In Romans 2:5 it says, "By your heart, your hard and impenitent heart," a heart that won't repent, a heart that won't humble itself, a heart that won't say, "Okay, God, I'm willing to listen and open myself and humble myself before you." "But by your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgments will be revealed." Ezekiel 3:7 says, "But the house of Israel will not listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a," listen to these two things, "a hard forehead and a stubborn heart." Hard-headed and hard-hearted. They won't listen to you, Lord. And Matthew 15:8 is very telling. This people honors me with their lips. In other words, it's all show, but their hearts are far from me. We can go to church, but if we leave and we really don't really love God beyond this room, our hearts are still far from Him. And too often God finds our hearts not where He wants them to be, not where they should be. And there's a conflict in our human hearts, a conflict, a battle in our between right and wrong and good and evil and positive and negative and purity or sin. And no human can control our defiant, sinful, and stony, as He calls it, hard hearts. If our hearts were actually made of stone, we'd be stone dead. Toward God, we are by nature stone cold dead. We do not naturally love Him above all. We do not naturally delight in Him above all. We do not naturally obey Him above all. As far as God is concerned, our inner hearts are as responsive as rocks. This is the way we are born. None of us are born with a heart that is naturally loving to God. We have this defiant little heart in there. And ever since the fall, we have inherited a defect that has left us with this heart problem. A heart made of a strong, inner, solid foundation that's dead towards God. And left to ourselves, there's no way to make those rocks live. We can try to do self-help and self-improvement courses, but if they're not really breaking that open for God, they're not helping us live. A heart of stone can never know God any more than a rock can be your friend. Unless you have a pet rock. Remember those? Pet rock? Somebody actually woke up one morning and said, I will pick up rocks in my yard. I will clean them and I will market them as a pet. I don't want to ask how many bought one. But they can't really be a pet, although there's not much feeding and care to these pets. You wouldn't have to worry about that. So here we are with these rock-solid barrier rocks in our hearts, not toward God, but actually against God. And what is needed is a new heart. And in ourselves, there's no hope. The only hope would be that some kind of a heart transplant could happen, that there could be a new heart. And that's where God's love comes in. What God offers to every human, a heart transplant, a new heart. We read of it in Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. A new heart, we hear this promise, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Great. God wants to give us a new heart. Not this piece of stone that keeps us separated from Him. So how do we get this new heart? Again, we cannot do it ourselves. Doesn't matter how handy you are around the house. You can watch all the YouTube videos you want. You're not going to be able to perform this heart transplant yourself. So it is God. God who loves us even while we're yet sinners. God who loves us even while we got hearts of stone. God who loves us even though we don't want anything to do with Him at times. This God loves us and wants to give us new hearts. We need the great physician to be the one that does this surgery. God to perform this heart transplant. And when God spoke the Ezekiel passage, Israel was pretty much at the lowest part in their Old Testament history. They had been grossly sinful and disobedient. They had lost their land. They had lost their temple. They were taken over completely by a pagan nation. There was nothing they could do to save themselves. Yet cry out to God. And to His broken people, He promised a new start and new hearts. And God offers the same thing to every human on the face of the earth, past, present, and should He tarry to come. When we come before God and we hear the good news of God's love, when we hear of the love that God has for us and His sending His only Son to die for our sins in our place, to take the punishment for us that we deserved,
When God loves us that much, when we realize that, when we cry out to this loving God and acknowledge our sins and ask Him to forgive us our sins and allow His sacrifice, Jesus, to pay the price for our sins, when we ask Him to forgive us for that, a supernatural, extraordinary thing occurs. God hears that heart. He cleanses away our sins. He washes them away. And we're completely cleansed of all of our sins. Stop for a moment. Close your eyes. And just think. All my sins. Gone. Now open your eyes. What a joy we have. God has allowed that to happen. So all those things, that supernatural event occurs. And we're cleansed of all our sins. We are born anew as God's children. And we are given a new heart. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Romans 5:5 adds, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. God is in the business changing hearts. He has a way of changing hearts. You know, we've just completed another observance of what's called the Christian year in worship. Christian year begins in what's called Advent, which means the advent of Jesus being born, God breaking into human history. It begins with the prophecies of the Advent, and then the idea of a major hope that the Hebrew people had in the Messiah who was to come, the deliverer who was to come. It began with all those prophecies and the major hopes and desires that God was finally going to send His promised Messiah. And in their view, though, it had gone into a worldly view that the deliverer was going to be militaristic. That's all they knew of power and warfare. That Messiah deliverer had to come as a warrior king on a great stallion leading a great army to destroy their persecutors and enemies and make things all at peace. And God did send a warrior to conquer. But God's conqueror came in the form of a little baby, lying in a manger. God's deliverer came through a teenager, astounding the religious leaders, not with his questions, but with his answers. God conquered sin through Jesus, who held children on his knee, spoke and ate with sinners, and loved the despised of society. God conquered sin through his teachings and miracles and healings. God conquered sin through his betrayal, arrest, mocking, and beating. God conquered sin through his warrior being crucified and dying for our sins. God conquered sin when 3 days later, his warrior rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And God conquers your and my, our sins, when each one of us confess our sins, ask Him to forgive our sins, invite Him into our hearts, our deepest being, as our Savior and Lord, and we have been conquered. The sin has been conquered. We are His children, and we will be with Him forever. Amen? And when we do, God does forgive our sins, cleanses us from our sins, puts into each one of us a forgiven and cleansed, brand new heart. And only through the birth and death of and the resurrection of Jesus is this possible. The first human medical transplant, heart transplant, was performed about a little over 40 years ago. But God's spiritual transplant was made over 2,500 years ago. In today's message, you have met your heart. My question to you today is, have you had that heart transplant? Have you had the heart surgery yourself? Have you let God take you from your heart of stone and given you a new heart that loves Him and He loves you and He can mold it and make it any way that will glorify you and bring joy in your life? A heart that will love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Have you received God's gift of a new and eternal life and heart? You only need one godly heart transplant. You have that transplant, a whole new heart and life in eternity has begun for you. That's a question to ask. again, if we come into this place and we look good, we sound good, we sing, we clap, we rejoice, and we praise, but if we walk out those doors and we don't continue to say with our hearts, Jesus, it was good to be with you in worship, and I know you're in me and with me now. Jesus, I want you to walk with me out these doors. I want you to continue to change me. When you go home, Lord, I want to be humble before you and your word. I want to open your word, and I want you to affirm me, to encourage me, as well as to challenge me. Lord, I want to honor you with my heart. I want to honor you with my life. Lord, I want to really give you all that I am because, Lord, you gave me all that you had for me. That's giving your heart to Jesus. If when you're in your car, you're thinking, you're not thinking, Lord, how can I honor you this day? Maybe it's time to give your heart more to Jesus. At the end of the service, we're going to have opportunity. If you've never, ever had a time when you've really just, in that first step, given your heart to Jesus, said, I want to give my heart to you because you gave your all for me. I mean, think of Jesus on that cross. He was not put there as a mistake. He was not put there because people just took him and captured him, decided what they wanted to do with him. Jesus came, as it said, a baby was to be born. Remember the plan of God? His name will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came with that goal, with that purpose, because he loves you and me. He wanted to give us a heart transplant, a new life, now and eternally. And he came so each one of us, one by one, come to him and say, Lord, why am I running from you? Why do I protect this heart of stone? Why do I like to be defiant against you? Lord, you love me. I want to give my heart to you. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my ways. Help break through the stone of a heart, Lord, and give me a heart that loves you and rejoices in you. And Lord, I want to give my heart more and more to you every day. I will struggle. I will stumble. I will fall. But I ask you to forgive me, and we'll go on together. Because, Lord, I want to love you with this heart. That's what it means to give your heart to Jesus. And it begins that first step of coming up and saying, I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior. I've never invited him into my life. And I want to do that because I want to start that wonderful relationship where you become his child and have a new heart begin in me. As your preaching team, as your pastoral team, we are called by God and you as a church to preach and teach the Word of God. God leads us at times to preach and teach about different topics, and maybe his church, or maybe about following him, about biblical doctrines, about honoring him in our lives and our choices, about his mission for his church, and at times to speak directly to the hearts of the congregation, each one of you, each one of us. As your preaching team, as your pastoral team, we are thankful for your faithfulness to God in this church, and to us, your staff. And as we minister among you week in and week out, we strive to be sensitive to God's leading for what we are to preach and teach in the weeks to come. And along with the themes of his church and following and honoring Christ, we also have seen and heard your hearts. Thank you for your leadership and your faithfulness. As God has brought two churches into one new church, and you have put your hands to the plow, and you are not letting go. And you are faithfully going forward, plowing for Jesus, this new church. All God's people say, amen. And I want to praise God for you and thank you for that. But we know also, while you got your hands to the plow, that some of you are hurting. Some of you, your hearts are breaking. Some of you are struggling with some really difficult things. And so as your pastoral staff, your preaching team, we're going to spend the next few weeks trying to minister to your hearts. It all starts with knowing Jesus in your heart, letting the Holy Spirit be in there, but bringing the word to different situations in our lives, in your lives, and trying to speak God's presence, God's love, God's power into your lives through your hearts. So God has led us to start this new sermon series called Matters of the Heart, and our prayer is that through these areas, you'll let God speak to your heart so that you can hear him assure you of his love, his presence, his care, his power, his peace. And that from these messages from the heart of God, your hearts will be calmed and encouraged. It's entitled Matters of the Heart, different things that are mattering to you in your heart, because your heart matters to God and your heart matters to us. It all begins if you have a new heart with Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, as we have come today, we've come, Lord, with a topic, Lord, that is very deep to our hearts, very deep to your heart. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you would, even while we have stubborn stone hearts, you still would want to love us. Help us break through that. So, Lord, we can have a wonderful life with you now and eternally. We can have your love, your joy, your peace, your presence, your power every day. And Lord, why are we so stubborn in our heart of hearts? Lord, help us to open our hearts. And Lord, as we sing our last song, Lord, if there are any here who want to give their heart to Jesus in a new way, we invite them to come forward, to come forward so we can share with them and pray with them, to pray to give their heart to Jesus and have you enter their hearts. And Lord, if there are those that are just hesitant, we ask you to help them to call us this week. Or if somebody has an aching heart and they just need some pastoral care, please, Lord, have them call us. For we are here as the body of Christ to minister to hurting hearts. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name.